So again, we digressed. Okay. Okay.
So we're doing the Rambam and Avodah Zarah Beis Dalet, right? About the significance of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. The mitzvah of Avodah Zarah can I call a mitzvah school on. That's not the right one. That's the other one, yeah. So the mitzvah of corresponds to all the mitzvahs. Okay, and he quotes a pasuk. And he says, it teaches you, Shekola ko modeh be'avodah zarah kafar b'chol Torah kulo b'chol ha'navim v'chol mash in the sovereign vein ma'adam and so follow. So if you admit you're modeh be'avodah zarah, so it's like you're denying, you are denying, it's not like you're denying, you're denying the whole Torah and all the Nevi'im and everything which the Nevi'im commanded from Adam all the way until the end of the world. Okay, what does it mean Adam? Stav Adam?
Adam
Rishon, yeah, what did he command then? Yeah, but what did he command? It says, "V'chomash and it's stavu and aviim me adam atzof olam." All the aviim commanded from Adam until the end of the world. What? Peruvu. Okay. This is a simple shy answer. I think the shavuos when you know, after six of them were given to not Adam. I believe so. Is it? I don't know. I think the Rambam holds that way. I think. So he was given six, and then I think Noach was given seven. So the six, I think, were commanded back from Mother Rishon. So he commanded the people. He told them, "This is what he was a Navi, telling the people, you got to keep this as mitzvah." I think that's what he means.
What
do
you
not got to do? Sorry, Al-Shisha is Perek Tess in Malachim. Al-Shisha Dvarim Nitzdav Adam Rishon. The other was commanded on six things. The only one, and then it says, V'hosif l'Noach Ever Menachai. So Nimtzu Shev Mitzvah. So by Noach was added Ever Menachai. So the six, they're called Shev Mitzvah Noach because they were completed by Noach. But really six of them were Adam was commanded. Right? Because Adam wasn't allowed to eat the meat altogether. So it's not Ever Menachai, he wasn't allowed to eat animals. He was only ate the vegetation. Right, but then when Noach was given the right to eat animals, the Torah restricted, it says, but not Avraham Anachai. Okay, so Adam was the first one who commanded, I mean, he was a Navi, right, because he was commanded on these mitzvahs, doesn't just mean him, I mean, this is mankind, right, through him, he was the Navi. So that's what it means, is that you're denying everything from Adam until every Navi. Okay, thank you. Okay, fine. So that's what saying is, if you're more than a Vodzar, then you're denying three things: Torah, all the Nevi'im, and everything Nevi'im commanded. And then if you're kofer b'avodazara, then you're mode b'chal tar kula. V'hi ikar kol mitzvah kula. It's the essence of all mitzvahs. Okay. So what does he mean? Right? I mean, this is sounds extreme. Right? I mean, a lot of mitzvahs out there. And Vodzara is what? By bowing down to idols? How is that the ikar of all mitzvahs? And if you deny Avodah Zarah, like, what is that? It just seems like a little bit far, right? And what does it mean if you deny Avodah Zarah, then you're modeh in the whole Torah? How's that? I deny Avodah Zarah, I'm modeh in everything. What does it mean I'm modeh in everything? And what does it mean if I accept Avodah Zarah? What does it mean? What are these three things? I'm kofar in the Torah and Nevi'im and in every all the words of Nevi'im forever and ever and ever, right? Okay. So presumably it sounds like there's a pretty significant idea here. Something, deeper in Avodah Zarah than just bowing down to idols, right? That's it. You get that feeling, right? Okay, so I think this is what I'm getting at, similar to what you guys are saying. Just to elaborate a little bit. But that the Rambam's saying, see, a person has a certain picture of reality, a certain idea of what's true. Okay, and he is presented, he has two different sides to his nature which are presenting a different picture of truth to his mind, you could say. Okay, there is his mind or the intellect is telling him what's true, telling him the world of ideas, of knowledge, of God, right, Chachma is true, is real, is it. And then there's his emotions are telling him a different set of a picture of reality, which is that I am the main thing in the world and my desires being satisfied is primary and my wishes are, the whole world of whatever
unconscious, irrational, instinctual picture of reality, which is right, a self-centered view versus like a God-centered view. And they're two totally different views of the of reality, which a person is juggling with, right? And he has to choose between. It's not just do mitzvah A or do mitzvah B, but what's real to the person? Is the God and his chachma real to the person, in which case the person's own existence and ego is small, and their desires are, you know, small in the picture of face of a larger reality? Or is the opposite? Your emotions are your emotions, and your power and your might and all that is great, and God is a small whatever, it's irrelevant, right? And there's a competition, and a person has to attach himself to one as being real, the other one as being illusory. So a person, a chacham, realizes that the world of knowledge is real, and the other things are temporary feelings which kind of pass through me, but they're not real. They're not as real as the world of ideas. These are transient emotions which are down due to my physical nature. But the Baal Taiva, on the contrary, what's real is Taiva. It doesn't have to be Taiva. It could be money, it could be ego, whatever it is. And ideas are basically whatever. It's for the scientists that they do their thing. But where is it at? It's at the world of self-pleasure and the world of money and the world of ego and the world of all that stuff. Right? Now, so I think Avodah Zarah is basically, that world. What your reality is, when it comes to the world of religion, there's that whole world view based on your emotions. When it comes to religion, basically gives you Avodah Zarah. Okay, because that world view, even the person whose world view is emotions. It's a scary world, and there are fears and all kinds of stuff like that, and he needs some sort of security, something to help him out, and he makes up these gods and makes up forces and powers and worships and all different types of things which will cater and allow him to keep his worldview going, which is his self-centered worldview. He creates gods which are from his imagination, which are perfectly designed to satisfy whatever he needs in reality. Right? So that's like the worldview of Avodah Zarah, is that basically the guy whose reality, sense of reality, comes from his emotions and his wishes and his imagination, his desires, is a guy who does Avodah Zarah. And the sin of Avodah Zarah is basically giving in on the most significant area of God himself, the existence of God, worship of God, to your worldview of your emotions. Okay? So that's like it's indicative, or it's a heading for a large category. Avodah Zarah, the Torah is saying, is a concerned sense of you to say it's true. The Torah is designed to remove Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's probably a chazal like that, but it means it's Avodah Zarah is how you worship God, but it's a whole picture of reality, and how you view everything in reality is based upon your wishes. You know, and when it comes to the area of religion, that becomes Avodah Zarah. When it comes to the area of other people, it comes to using and manipulating other people. When it comes to the eating, it becomes the idea of eating is the ends in its own right. And the sexual, it's a whole worldview, which is that your instincts and what your instincts tell you is real. That's the worldview of Avodah Zarah. And all the mitzvahs are basically trying to uproot that. Uproot the more primitive view of reality. And every mitzvah, and different mitzvahs target different aspects of that worldview. But ultimately, the Torah is going for a person's sense of truth, and real is God. God should be real, and the world of which is presented by their mind is real, and the world of the presented by their emotions has its place, which is your emotions have to be satisfied, and that's part of what your mind tells you, but they're not the ultimate. They're fleeting, and they don't have the significance which the world of which ideas and chachma has. Okay, so far so good. Okay, so it could be what I was saying is that it's not just a regular mitzvah. Okay, it's connected kol mitzvah kulon. It means this mitzvah embodies the idea and the attitude, the objective of all the mitzvahs. Okay. So basically it's saying, and you have to get more particular, but if you're modlen of Odzara, then basically you're saying is that the most significant area, the way you determine the reality of the ultimate reality of the universe is God, is the creator of the universe, the cause of the universe. So if when it comes to that area, you impute your own emotional wishes, and you're modlen of Odzara. See, modlen doesn't necessarily even mean that you bow down to, you worship Odzara, but you're modlen that there is a different reality, that there's a, the reality is the reality of your emotions, of your wishes, of your imagination, and not the reality of God. So then you're basically undermining the whole Torah. Yeah, that's good. And he'll say this right. It's like, you need to accept, to attach yourself as accept the reality of Ozar. If you accept the truth value of Ozar, the claim of Ozar as being true, an acceptance, right? A person accepts, their mind attaches, their soul, or whatever you want to call it, attaches to Ozar as being true, so then the whole Torah is denying. I mean, all the Torah, the purpose of the Torah is to extricate you from that worldview. So if Odzara is the heading of that worldview, so what's it worth if you have, that's your view of the ultimate source, you know, the ultimate reality is some other imaginary God, then what's the, all these other mitzvahs don't really have much worth, because your whole, the foundation of your worldview is the source of the world, and so, you know, the God and your worship of God is at the core. And we have to get into what it means, all the mitzvahs and all the neviim and all. Let's leave that vague for now. And it says, and if a person denies of Avodah Zarah, then he's modeh in the whole Torah. So modeh, I say again, it means he's accepting the foundation of all the mitzvahs. Again, the foundation of all the mitzvahs is the idea that the person has to live his life based upon truth and based upon his mind. That's the foundation of all the mitzvahs. And if a person uproots, and I guess this is what Jonah was mentioning, it's not just saying, oh, I deny Odzara. It's not so simple, because it's insidious. And Odzara, your wishes, that the whole world of Odzara. And the person to deny it has to deny it in all its facets. But insofar as the person is successful in denying it, he's denying, then this is, I guess, what you're saying, is that he's denying the truth, the reality of Avodah Zarah, which is the reality of his wishes, and he is now opens the door. He now is what is real to him then. In other words, and so far, what prevents you from seeing the reality of the Torah and the mitzvah, Son of Truth, is your the wishes. If you deny Avodah Zarah, you're ipso facto grabbing hold of the reality of the mitzvahs. And your modem means you're accepting your attitude towards the mitzvahs as the one of truth. It doesn't just mean you say, I accept them, but it means you're attached to them as being true and as being real. So it's like the whole life of the Torah is a battle between those two things. It's not a simple word game. You say, I deny Odzara, I accept Odzara. But it's the whole, it's like the Iker of Kol Mitzvah, Skulan, is of Odzara, and all of its extensions. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a mindset of an idolater, or of a primitive, of a person who lives by his wishes. And his world, his picture of reality is determined by his wishes and his desires. And that's what the whole Torah is going against that, and saying your picture of reality should be based upon what your mind tells you is true, and what's real. And your wishes and your desires are just that. They're just wishes and desires. So it's like it's one mitzvah which is kind of embodies the entire the whole Torah. Maybe like this is like, see, the way it works, I think, is that in knowledge is like almost like a ladder, you could say, or it's built to, like, you work your way up, like you gain knowledge of one thing and you realize that's dependent upon something greater, and that's dependent upon something greater, and that's dependent, right? And then as you get into the world of universals, so the knowledge is there's particulars, and that's right. And ultimately, you get to God, the source of that, right? So it's like, that's what the Rambam calls it as Yisod Yisod Amar HaChachmas. That Hashem is the existence of God, is the Amar HaChachmas. It's the pillar, foundation of all Chachma. Because, as the Rebbe explains, but as if there's no, if you don't have a cause, a source of the universe, then what's the chachma? It's just, if you just have a bunch of accidents going on, then what's the idea of the chachma? There's no chachma, just a bunch of just arbitrary stuff. It just happens to be you're placing order on something that has no order to it. Whereas there's a deep commitment that every scientist has that there is a chachma in the universe, and that chachma is the Torah holds is that there's a reason for that belief is based upon God. But if you don't have an idea of God, then it's just maybe there is no chachma. I mean, there's no, what's the foundation? Where's the foundation? You're just studying. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But you have a belief that there is. Ultimately, that's all knowledge traces back to a source, to God. Now, similarly, so like when you're gaining knowledge, or so like every mitzvah in a certain sense is to get you in line with the truth in a certain area. So, like, let's say the mitzvahs of treif and the kosher is to get you in line with the truth of the place of the appetitive in your life. You know, that there's an idea that it's not just the end of everything, but there's, you know, it gives a person a certain psychological enjoyment, and it gives a person sustenance so he could be able to be satisfied, to be able to grow and to be healthy and all that. You know, so there's a certain realistic way to relate to food, and there's a false way to relate to food. So that's one mitzvah perfects a person and gives a person a realistic perspective in that area. So the minhag mechaver mitzvot start to give a person a realistic perspective on other people and his place so in the social picture, you know. So different mitzvot start to give him different ideas, and not just like an abstract idea, but to so he's that it's real to him. He has a proper view of reality in this area. You know, he's attached to a certain truth in this area. And every mitzvah is different, you know, different areas. But ultimately, given that the knowledge in the chain and the ladder of knowledge, God is the ultimate idea. Once you deny God and you have a wrong idea up at the top of the ladder, then all these other things just fall. You know, so it's like the ikkar; it's at the top of the whole thing. So all the false ideas which you're knocking out. If you don't have a proper idea of God, or your idea of God is based upon your wishes and your imagination, then everything else just crumbles. You know, like what's science if you hold at the corner of the whole thing is some fairy tale God or whatever? Then what's all of knowledge is kind of resting on nothing. You know, so all the mitzvos is to give you a certain perfection in a certain area, but that perfection rests upon a foundation of a worldview of chachma, which is rooted in God. If you have a mistake in the beginning of the whole thing, then what the whole thing is, you know, shatters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For mitzvahs, you can't, it's not so easy to just get to the core. In a certain sense, say, okay, so deny about Zara and deny everything. Because the person has lots of, you know, different emotions and different, is complex. So you have, for instance, you have a party which tells you that, that the sexual is everything, and that's, you know, that's the goal in life, you know. So a person can't just say, well, I'll deny what those are. But that's a part of the person, so the person has to get that under control and relate to that in its proper perspective. And, you know, so ultimately, at the top of the thing is, you know, but just like in knowledge, you can't just say, let's study God. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you have to kind of work your way up the ladder and get, you know. So similarly, a person's emotions are different areas. You have to perfect yourself in multifaceted, you know. And then a person could be rooted to his whole world of emotions because he wants to justify his sexual whatever. I mean, and that could prevent him from really gaining any knowledge because, you know, so in the way a person is everything's, you know, interconnected, and the Torah works to perfect a person in every area. You know, because you could have knowledge in one area, but not, you know. See, you could have a fault in one area. You know, you could be bad at a certain mitzvah, Lashon Hara, let's say, but you could be good at other stuff. And, you know, they're different departments. But you can't be bad at Avodah Zarah and then be, you know, because so the saying is there's a hierarchy and everything's, you know, once you're bad at Avodah Zarah, it means your whole worldview is off, you know, because at the top it's, you know. Yeah. Okay. So, but the point here in Moda and Kofar, though, is that I think that, Daniel said good, is that it doesn't mean to just admit, but it's like an acceptance. An acceptance is an internal attachment of the personality to a certain truth, to a certain idea. Okay, that's a mode that means. Right? And presumably, I think we'll take that towards us. I mean, kofar, I mean, we have to get into it, but mode and kofar and manas kahuna doesn't just mean I say, oh yeah, I accept manas kahuna. But it's a deeper commitment to the reality of the fact, which we have to get into what that is, but
And that's kind of what you were trying to say, something like that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. But so we'll get back to that. So what about one other thing we didn't explain here is, what are these different things? What's the point? Is that if you accept the Avodah Zarah, you deny the Torah and the Nevi'im and all the words of the Nevi'im from here on in. Right? So what are those points? I mean, what more do you need? You deny the Torah? What are you going to say? You deny the Nevi'im, you deny all the commandments in the Nevi'im. What's the point of that? What's the point of what I'm adding then? So it's a little hard problem, but just maybe a thought. I'm not sure if this is what the Rama means, but I think it's an interesting point anyways, and maybe it's what it means. So I think people often think, this is probably a common belief nowadays, is that Avodah Zarah is an old thing, an ancient thing, you know, that used to be, and the Torah maybe was really against it. It was really bad, and the Torah came out strongly to knock it out, you know? But it's history. Like, whatever, it's the Torah is getting rid of that, but essentially, you know, maybe it's true that the Torah was like that, but after all, there's a lot more to the Torah, and the Nevi'im came along, and Nevi'im had other stuff, like the Torah, Nevi'im talk about Zara, but they also talk about justice, and Mishpat, with between your fellow man, and all that kind of stuff. And there's lots of other stuff, so it's true that there was a time, let's say like the Rambam specifically talks about like certain mitzvahs were taught rid of Avodah Zarah, and you know, there's an idea that man used to be very primitive, and there was a Avodah Zarah uprooted, but it's not an intrinsic thing. Avodah Zarah is not an intrinsic, it's more like it was like a campaign that the Torah had to do in order to knock off Avodah Zarah off the map. You know, and people think that was completed some at some point, like in the Gemara, where they knocked out the Avodah Zarah, and that's it. And it's history. And now, basically, it's all about being a good person, you know, or some version of that, you know, to love God and not know something else, right? But it could be that. But that's not true. I mean, the whole Torah is connected about Zarah, and all the mitzvahs are connected about Zarah. So you can't say anymore that, oh, that's it. We don't need that anymore. So no Avodah Zarah anymore, what are we in the mitzvahs for? He's saying all the mitzvahs, they're saying, can I get Avodah Zarah? And that's the ikar of all the mitzvahs. And if you tell me Avodah Zarah is history, and it's some ancient relic which is history, so then there's no mitzvahs anymore. See, but I think if you look at Avodah Zarah as idol worship, then you're right. Or you could say that you're right, that nowadays we don't have so much idol worship anymore. Which, you know, is arguable, but whatever, right? In its most primitive forms, it's not that common. And in different societies and different generations, it goes more and less. There are times where we have it and times where we don't have it. But the mindset of Avodah Zarah, which is the ikar of Kol Torah Kula, is something which transcends every generation and every chayt and every... It's always there. Because it's a whole attitude and a way of viewing reality, which is... all chayt is going to be based on the mentality of the way of Avodah Zarah. Mentalizor is like a self-centered guy whose whole picture of reality is created based on what he wishes. So that's the guy who's corrupt in business, and the Navi is rebuking is also that same guy. It's a different manifestation of the same personality. So what it's saying is that it's not just the book of Torah that you're denying, which was a book which was given to Jews who exited Mitzrayim, which was a culture of Avodah Zarah, and it was in a time where the world was idolaters. But it's something which gone all the way back to Adam HaRishon. Right, Adam Rishon, were the idolaters in the time of Adam Rishon? I mean, he was the first guy, right? Back to there and all the way into the future. And all via every command which God gives ultimately to man is ultimately uprooting Avodah Zarah. But the full-blown expression of Avodah Zarah, the mentality, the mindset of an Ovid Avodah Zarah, you know? So that's what he's saying. If you accept Avodah Zarah, then everything, not only is the book of the Torah, but there's no religion. You don't have anything left. You know, there's Nevi'im. There's no Navi. Is you know, it wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu that was knocking out Avodah Zarah, but it's everything. There's no Navi, no anyone from any time before or after that has any other purpose other than uprooting the mother mentality of Avodah Zarah. So it's interesting because the particular mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is limited in its scope. It's one of the many of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But which are, you know, there's many, right? How many?
51
of the mitzvahs. So is that's more than any other? Probably,
yeah.
Right?
So there's a lot of mitzvahs out of Avodah Zarah, but it's still, you know, less than 10%, right? So there's, but the idea of Avodah Zarah, that's what he's saying, it's the ikar of kol mitzvahs kulam. You know, mitzvahs are connected kol mitzvahs kulam. Right, and it's like he ikar kol mitzvahs kulam. So that's the idea. It's like as hilchos of Avodah Zarah doesn't discuss the mentality of Avodah Zarah, discussing the mitzvahs in particular. But this Rambam is saying you should know it goes beyond that, and it's in this point that he's adding the point that it's intrinsic. It's not due to a. So I'm not sure if this is what the Rambam's getting at, but I think it's an important idea to mention, especially nowadays, is that the fact that if you say that, I think it's an important point, is if you say that the Torah is a relic, then the whole Torah is a relic in a sense, you know. But if you say that the mentality of Avodah Zarah is always there, particular forms of it may be banished from existence, and maybe we may have risen that we no longer practice, the crude forms of Avodah Zarah, and the world doesn't do that in general. But the mentality of Avodah Zarah just takes different forms. And the God's commands to man through Nevi'im are always centered around some form of abolishing. If you accept an Avodah Zarah, then there's no, you don't have any place in anything which God commands, any Navi, any time ever. You know? Yeah. Okay, we good? Is there a question? Yes. Then he asked the question is what about the. It sounds like there's another step, right? The Rambam says, it's like you deny the whole Torah and all the Nevi'im and all that which the Nevi'im command. So we're explaining Torah and then everything which is commanded ever. But what does it mean in the Nevi'im? Like the people of the Nevi'im. What does that mean? You're denying the Nevi'im. Just what do you need that for? It sounds like an additional step. So you could argue it's just a setup for the for the third step, but it sounds like there's another step. So I'm not sure again, it's hard to know exactly what Torah means, but my father, as well as my father, a little bit, he associated to some of the Rebbe talked about on Shabbos, which is that in the Torah and Parsha, Shoftim, right, there was the Torah saying, Tam and Tia, you shouldn't go after Ma'onim and Kosmim and all the soothsayers and all the fortune tellers and all these different types of guys, but you should be complete with God. And it says, the other nations look for the future, they desire for the future, and they turn to their prophet, so to speak. But you, no, God gave you something else. He gave you a Navi, you know? And a Navi, you go to the Navi, and he could tell you certain things that will happen in the future, you know? So he basically said, like, what's the idea? I mean, on the one hand, he says, sounds like Tom Tiam Shankacha, he said, Rashi says, I mean, you should be complete, you shouldn't search after the future. There's an idea of some primitive wishes in man that he's looking towards the future. It's like all mystical appeal of the future. But the Torah says you should live a life of chachma and just don't get carried away with all those imagination of what's going to happen in the future. Live a life with chachma at each step of the way. And you don't have to have the fantastic desire to know the future is not something you should be involved in. You should just be concerned with the present and what chachma dictates now. Of course, you plan for the future, but that's a different idea than trying to seek out what's going to happen in the future, you know. So he says, and that's what the Torah really holds. But then why is the Torah saying is, but if you want to know the future, God didn't give you that, but he gave you a Navi. And Navi will tell you certain things about the future. So it sounds like, what do you mean? I thought we don't need that. So he says, no. So the Rebbe said, he developed it more, but he basically said is that the highest level person doesn't need a Navi, and doesn't need his future, and it's totally, he lives in the present, and he lives in Chachma, and he's right. But not everyone's at that level, and the Torah recognizes that a man could need a Navi. A man could have a certain desire for the future. But the way the Torah gives it to him is through the personality of the Navi. The personality of the Navi, and what he shows the difference is that the Navi tells him like facts about reality, which he now has to use with Chachma and make a plan based upon those facts. Like it's like just like if a person gained information through some investigation, he gained information through an Avi. But now he has to take that information and use it and make a good plan. Whereas the idolatrous prophet or whatever is just like playing into your imagination, just giving you like you read the horoscope, for instance, how it's just playing into all your wishes and your man's imagination, your fantasies. So that's what he's saying. Is the point is that their Navi, it's a different idea of a Navi. So our idea of a Navi'im are God are sending to us, and there we relate to them in the framework of Chachma. As they help us, even if it's based upon our weaknesses, but they help us in terms of our pursuit of truth. But and that's a Navi, that God gives us a Navi. And doesn't just say, go figure it out on your own. And there's the God, but it's still, it's the pursuit of Chachma. But the Goyim also have, so to speak, prophets. But they're prophets in Vyashekar, which are basically based on wishes and fantasy, and they just make stuff up to cater to your imagination. So it could be it's saying is if a person accepts of Avodah Zarah, then his whole view of the Nevi'im is also going to be corrupted. Because the idea of a Navi is going to be basically God just playing into your wishes and just giving you a personality. You know, you relate to the Navi in that way also. So it's like a... I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm not so sure about this the Navi part. Okay, I mean, developing some thought, but I'm not sure. Maybe it could be made a little better. Maybe let's see. Okay, and then what I like to do tomorrow is to get back to our problems. Okay, all the submanas guna. Right, those questions. We had a few questions there yesterday, so hopefully we can answer those up. Okay?
Should I get back to what?